How are you today?
Good. How about you?
Good. Okay. I will do it. Sorry about the not being on the same page, but our call to worship comes from Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me your thoughts, O God. Welcome to Harbor of Joy this morning. Glad that you are here. And those of you on Zoom, a good, hearty welcome from Iowa. Glad that you've joined us as well. We didn't have power, or we didn't have a good PA system last week, if you remember, so there was no Zoom. I had to talk louder, but everybody said they could still hear me, which is good. But thank you to Steve Letcher. We do have what you hear. Thank you, Steve. And of course, he would never take credit, but I think you're the best. Actually, I think you're the greatest, you know, for getting power back on. There are some things that are not in your bulletin. I want to just deal with those first. Terry Dirks, are you here?
No.
If you come up here, you're going to have to use a mic. And it's because of the Zoom people. They need to hear.
Well, I think you all know it's the end of January, and we said that we would have carpet. The carpet came in, but unfortunately the order was switched. So we had to go back and reorder some of the carpet. So now it's going to be at least another 6 weeks before we can get it in the narthex and the fellowship hall. So I figured this is God's way of saying, let's get this stuff as dirty as we can before we pull it all out and put in the new stuff. But the kitchen will still be done mid-February. So we'll have our, you know, linoleum and our kick plate and everything in there. And then the hallways will still be done so that all we have to do is worry about cleaning everything out of there and finding a place for it for just about a week or so. So that was my only announcement. So please keep praying that the stuff comes in and it's right.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate that. Cheryl Hissinius, are you here? She's not here. But she just wanted to make sure that you read the bulletin about a ladies' Bible study that will start. She will be leading it in March. The reason why it's kind of early to promote it is because her and Ken are going on vacation in February, and she'd like to order the books before she leaves. So if you want to get a book for the Bible study, that's why you need to let her know or to sign up by the secretary's ledge by her office over there so that those can be ordered by early February. So just keep that in mind. We're thankful that she is going to lead the study. It has to do with the resurrection, which fits right in at the time of Lent. And just kind of important reasons why to believe that the resurrection did take place. So that's what the study is going to be on, surrounded by the study of the resurrection. And then also we did get a thank you from the Daisy Brennan family. I just want to read this to you because it is for the whole church. It just says here, what a wonderful gesture of kindness to send the Fairway gift cards. God has proven himself real to Nathan through the love and support shown to him and his family. Your prayers. That Daisy Brenner is from Wallingford, Iowa. You know, she has 10 children and she died at 38. Here just probably about a month ago. So we sent them the Fairway gift cards of $400 that we had. We weren't really using them like probably we should have, but it was just a wonderful idea that we would do that as a church to send it to this family who could use them. There was a Fairway in their town of Estherville. And so it's just something to helpful. I just wanted you to know that that's a part of the ministry that takes place here at Harbor of Joy that you're a part of as as well. And so I think those are all the things that are not in the bulletin. And there is a picture here that was sent to us of Daisy. If you don't know what she looks like, maybe we can put that on a bulletin board by the secretary's office or Amy, wherever you want to put it. It's fine with me. That, so. Okay, here we are. Just want to remind you that this coming week, everything is going to take place as it always does, except for Thursday. We are going to go from the Esther study. We finished the Esther study on the book of Esther, But now we're going to watch, just for 1 hour, it's a two-part thing on Esther that was shown down at the Light in Life.
Sight and Sound.
Okay, Sight and Sound. I knew I had that wrong. Sight and Sound in Branson, Missouri, Dina Struck has the DVD. So it's open to anyone, even if you didn't come to the study, to the Esther study, you can come and watch it with us this Thursday from noon until 1 o'clock. And we're just going to cut it off right around 1 o'clock, and Dina will do that. But we just want you to know you're invited to come, even though if you didn't come to the study, you're welcome to be a part of that. Next Saturday is men's breakfast, 7:30 in the morning. And make sure you can come to that. Following the men's breakfast is a membership class here at the church. I'll be leading that. And it's just a very informal time. It's no obligation that you have to become a member. And maybe you just kind of go like, well, it's been a long time since I became a member or have not been a member. I'll just come and attend it. That's fine too. It doesn't really matter to me. I don't know all the answers to all the questions that there might be, but I'll try my best. And if I don't know them, I'll find out and get back to you, whatever they may be. So that's coming up this here week. And just to remind you that the gifting statements, they're out in the narthex in front of the church office. Those of you that you want to find out what your contributions have been to the church over the past year of 2023, they're available today, and they'll be out there, I guess, until they're all gone. But they're there for you, just to let you know that they are there because tax time is coming. How many of you love taxes? Raise your hand. Why do we pay them that? Well, let's have a word of prayer together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are grateful today in knowing that everyone that you want here is here. And we thank you, Lord, for just the closure that you brought to us yesterday with Enid Cresswell's memorial service or funeral. And we pray that you be with the family during this time of adjusting to not having Enid around. If it's mom, grandma, great-grandma, who knows? But we just thank you for the privilege that we know that one day we will all be together for those that love Jesus. Be a great reunion. And so for the time being, it's a separation, but we will be together someday. And Lord, we pray too, just for Jeff Kyle and knowing that his mom has passed away this past week and that her funeral is tomorrow at 10 o'clock here. And again, Lord, it's just people that are going through grief, even though Marion was a lot older. It's still a loss for the family. She's not around anymore. But we know that there are people who are dealing with grief and loss, and that you are there with them through all of this time. So, Lord, as we come to you today, we're just mindful of how much you've given to us. I look forward to hearing from Patty Griffiths and from Maria, who's come back from Tanzania. And they'll give us a whole different picture on what life is like on the other side of the world than what we have come to know and what we understand here. There are many places, Lord, that are sometimes we call third world countries. But may you use them as they share with us the things that they still see you at work and you doing in the lives of the people there, because you came for all of us, for everyone on this planet. May we come to know you and find Jesus Christ in the journey that you've given to us here on earth. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins, and thank you for being with us as we travel on this earth and do the things that you would have us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We will now hear another song called, Oh, How I Love Jesus, and I want you to do this. I want you to look at the faces of those that are singing up here and make sure they prove to you that they really do love Jesus. Okay? What? Responsive reading today are actually the words that come from the song, the servant song. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are together on this road. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you.
This a whole is mine, my be praised. Be this eternal song through all the ages long. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.
Thank you, Lynn, Kelly, and Curtis, and Sharon. Invite you to stand as we hear God's word here this morning. Comes to us in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, verses 15 through 19. Deuteronomy 15 through 19 of chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. Before this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see his great fire anymore, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account." Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word has never changed. Help us to understand it. Help us to receive it. And may you have your way in our hearts and lives here this morning. We pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It is Moses who writes Deuteronomy. It's important to keep that in mind. It's Moses who is writing what God is telling him to write. It's given to us. And remember that he was chosen by God to be his mouthpiece, his messenger, or we probably know him better as a prophet for the people of Israel. It is said of Moses that he is the best prophet that Israel ever had. And so when Moses hears from God directly, you know, God doesn't, you know, it's not common that he does that today by any means, but Moses was able to hear from God directly, his voice, verbally. And when he heard what God was telling him to remember or to say to the people, he did that. And then it was up for the people to either listen or to turn their back on God. So I want to remind you that Moses wasn't always this way as a prophet. Remember, he is the one who experienced the burning bush in Midian. He also heard God say in that burning bush that he is to go back to Egypt and to set the people free from Pharaoh. And Moses argued with God, said, "I am not going to do that. I can't speak. You know, call my brother, Aaron. He's a much better speaker than I am." It got to be such a heated kind of an argument between Moses and God, where God wanted to kill Moses because he was not listening to him. But we know that Moses eventually did go to Egypt, and he did ask God. He says, "You know, if I tell the people that they're going to be released from Egypt, we're going to get out of there. I mean," and they're going to say, "Well, who gives you the authority? Who's telling you this?" And God just said to him, "I am who I am." And the people ask, "Well, who's given you that authority?" You tell them that "I am" has sent you. I am is in the Hebrew, where you get the letters. There's only consonants in the Hebrew language. There's no vowels. And that's where you get the word Yahweh, which is, you know, a Y, a W, and an H, and a probably another W. I don't know. But it's spelt out in Hebrew that way. And there was something about that name, Yahweh, which is a personal name for God. We don't use that word very much. We always call him God. We call him the Father. We can use Jehovah. We can use different kinds of names. But to the Jewish people, when the words I am that we understand, it was very personal that God wanted Moses to do this for his children of Israel. He saw how they were being suffered. They were enslaved by the Egyptians. And so we go to the 10 plagues of Egypt. There's a parting of the Red Sea to get away from Pharaoh's army that was pursuing them. These are all miracles. And to keep in mind that all these things is not what Moses did. He had a part in it, but it's what God did. It's God who made the plagues. It is God who parted the Red Sea. It was God who went before the people by a cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. That was for the people to understand that God was with them. And they would just have to follow. When the cloud moved, the people would follow it. At night, if the pillar of fire moved, the people would follow it. But that was God's presence letting the people know that he was there with them. Do you know how many people probably they believe that Moses led out of Egypt? 1.5 million people. That's a lot of people. 1.5 million. I don't know how they come up with that number, but that's what is said. Now, mind you, how does a prophet, when he speaks, where over 1 million people can hear him? There is no PA system. But then again, Moses was not your ordinary guy. And God spoke to him, and God had a way for the people to hear through his prophet, Moses, and then there were probably other people that would relay it, because there is, you know, people back then are the same as we are today. You tell one person something, or one person finds out something, how many more do they tell? It just goes like fire. So I don't know if Moses had a big booming voice or what, but the people were able to hear, or maybe the people had better hearing than we have today. I don't know. But they come to understand that Moses was the man that God spoke to, and they were to listen to what God said to him. And if they did, it would mean life. If they chose not to, it would mean death. It was just that simple. Now, when we talk about Mount Horeb, Mount Horeb is the same as Mount Sinai. So just keep that in mind. We talk about Horeb. If you read about Horeb, it's talking about Mount Sinai. We're more familiar with Mount Sinai. That's the place where the mountain was, where Moses was invited up to the top of the mountain where God would speak to him. The people were afraid of that mountain because it was like a furnace of smoke that would come out of it. It was something there that made them very afraid, and Moses had told them that God had said to him that the people are only supposed to come so close to the foot of that mountain, but don't go beyond it because they'll die. Only those who invited up to that mountain would live. And Moses was one of those that went up there, and when God would come down in a form of a cloud, the people could not see him because the people believed that if you ever saw God face to face, you're dead. How can someone so holy put up with someone who is sinful? Sin and holy just don't go together. Now, what the Israelites saw are the people around them, the neighboring countries, the neighboring tribes. And God is putting in place his people, that they are going to be a different kind of nation. a different kind of people from all the surrounding countries, all the surrounding people groups. They were going to be a holy people, different. Their neighbors, if they looked at what their neighbors were doing, they found that their neighbors were worshiping false idols, worshiping things that they shouldn't be worshiping. And God, one of the, you know, the very first commandment that God gave to his people was what? You shall have no other gods before me, because there are no other gods. There only is one God, one true living God. And so God comes to them and saying, this is who I am. There are no other gods. I have always been. The neighboring countries, they also had prophets. They also had wise men. They also had leaders. They had their own idols, their own gods that they worshiped. But one of the things that they ended up doing is, as they followed their false gods, is that it led them to sorcery, to witchcraft, to human sacrifice, the casting of spells, their spiritism, and consulting the dead. Those are the fruits of those false gods. They're still around today. People are looking. And they'll go after anything that they want to believe. That's where this book, called the Bible, is so important. It's the truth. It is God's word. We listen to it. We learn it. We read it. We study it. We learn a lot of things, and a lot of times we forget, and we have to hear it again. How many sermons do you remember that you've heard in your lifetime? Very, very few, if any. People ask me what I preached on last Sunday. I tell you, I don't know. They go, you mean you forget? I go, yeah, I forget, because I'm on to the next sermon that comes the following Sunday. But I don't know what I preached on. Moses knew that as he would speak to the people, there was no phony or baloney. He spoke the truth to them. And they were going to be a people that was going to be a lot different than their neighbors. And it all comes down, it's their view of God that they had. God spoke to Moses. Moses revealed to them that, hey, you don't have to listen to me if you don't want to, but God says it's going to be your responsibility if you don't listen. It's still that way today. Only it's different in a lot of ways too today, because of Jesus Christ, his son. So what God is impressing upon his people, now remember, it's a beginning of a nation. They don't have everything figured out yet, but God is going to teach them and is going to help them. And guess what? 40 years in the wilderness, Moses had to be the leader of 1.5 million people. And the people, how long did it take them before they started thinking, like, look what we left? You know, if we would have stayed in Egypt, we would still have the garlics, we would still have the onions, we'd still have the potatoes. We'd have the goulash, we'd have the lefse. And they'd want to go back to Egypt because it was a lot easier there. In the wilderness, it was a learning time for the whole people to become a nation. They would not go into the promised land until they had accomplished what God wanted them to learn. And of course, did they ever learn? Not many of them. It took one generation to die off before they went into the promised land, except for Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two from that first generation that went into the promised land. Moses couldn't even go into the promised land because he had done something that God did not like. And what was that? He struck the rock for water when God told him he was supposed to do what with that rock? Speak to it. And Moses was so much like us. We just get ticked off, get mad. So I had enough of this. Bam! I'm going to hit that rock. I'm not going to talk to it. And God said to Moses, you will not go into the promised land because of that. And he went up on Mount Nebo, and he watched as the Israelites went into the promised land, and he could not go there. And he died on top of that mount, Mount Nebo, which is on the other side of the Jordan River. When we're in the Dead Sea, we were told by our tour guide to go, like, see that mountain way over there? I go, yep. Well, that's where Moses died. It's in modern-day Jordan today. He was not allowed to come into Israel, but is known as Israel today. So the prophets of God, the prophets of Israel, they were not like their neighbors. They were different because they followed the one true God. At least they were supposed to. So I just want to remind you that Jesus Christ is the final prophet. You go from Moses to Jesus. Now there are gifts in the New Testament that tell us that there are still will be prophets that will come. And there may be some. You know, I always thought it was Billy Graham. But he's gone. So who are the prophets today that are out there telling the truth? Because if they are telling the truth, they're not going to be received very well by the media or by just people. They're going to be hated. And sometimes it even goes down the chain of command, even down to pastors. There are pastors that aren't teaching the truth. And I want to be one of those that teaches the truth. So if you come across something in Scripture that you go like, hey, it says this and you said that, well, I want to know about that. Show me where it says in the Scripture what your beef is. And I'll be the first to say, you're right. And I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Because I want the truth. And I've always believed the Bible's been true. No one has ever gone wrong in following what God's word says. So Moses is the first prophet to the children of Israel. And that God said to them through Moses, I am going to send you a prophet. It's going to be someday in the future that will come from your own brothers. It means it's going to come from your own people. And Jesus becomes that prophet in the New Testament. Because if you remember, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there was, he just took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, went to the top of this mount, and there they saw two people plus Jesus there. Who were the other two that came up to that mountain on the Mount of Transfiguration? Elijah and Moses. And they were there. This is before Jesus had to go to the cross. It doesn't say what they said to Jesus, but it had to be some way of just encouraging him. And it's Peter who says, "Oh Lord, we should make something for these guys here." And it's basically where God just says, "Peter, just be quiet. Enjoy what you're seeing and what you're able to hear." But one of the things that they did hear, a voice, had to be God's voice. He just said, this is my son, who I'm well pleased. And the last thing that God said or that they heard was, listen to him. Listen to him. We are to listen to what Jesus says. Because we know that that's what's right. Because Jesus was God, is God. He's always been. He's eternal. And so we find in our text today where it says, if anyone will not listen to the words that have been given to the prophets that speaks in the name of the Lord, it says that God himself will hold you to account. So listening is so important. And I ask you this morning, are you listening to Jesus Christ? Are you listening to Jesus? One of the things I want to remind you that I went to a basketball game here in Spirit Lake a couple weeks ago, maybe it was last week, I don't know. But do you know what they play now during halftime or warm-up time? They play rap music. And it's loud, it's cranked up. And you hear the boom, the boom, the boom, the boom, and it just, I'm going like, I'm getting old. I can't handle this. And I have to leave and go to the concessions and take my time before I come back in until it's done. I can't understand the words because it's so loud. And the young people are going like, oh, Opa, it's great music. I go, well, what does it say? I can't hear anything. And they go like, oh, I don't think you'd want to hear what they're saying. That's what it's come to. You know, and then the last game we went to, they had some real more mellow kind of music being played. And I'm going like, oh, I just like this music. And I noticed that there was young people sitting in front of me. They all turned around and looked at me after I said that. They didn't like it. They didn't like what I liked. So I'm going like, boy, times have changed. It's true, I am getting older. Jesus spoke the truth. And when he came to this earth, he only came for one reason. Probably more than one, but one reason that stands out to me is whatever Jesus did, it was to please his Father. Everything he did, it was to please his Father. He knew why he came. He knew it wasn't going to be easy, but he did it because he wanted to please his Father. We know that he was sinless. We know that he spoke the truth because he himself claimed and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, which is a great verse that Enid Creswell wanted everyone to hear at her funeral. And they did, which was yesterday. She loved those words. She believed in them. And she kept saying, it's a relationship and it's by faith. Be sure that my family hears those words. Now, I don't know anything behind that or why she wanted that. I just said, I will honor you. I will honor what you've said to me and do the best that I know how. But it's in God's hands. We know that Jesus came to forgive us because he went to the cross. He rose again on the third day, which shows he was victor over sin and death. People saw him. It wasn't just his disciples. It wasn't just the women at the cemetery. He showed up before there was 500-some people before he ascended into heaven. Salvation comes to us by faith in Christ Jesus, and believing in him and what he's done for us. And this promise that Jesus has made is for every man, woman, boy and girl, and child on this planet. He came for every one of us. The question is, do you believe in him? Do you believe his words? Jesus said a lot of things that turned everything upside down. We need to listen to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for loving us the way that you do. We don't deserve your love by any means because we just are a bunch of sheep. We go with the flow. Wherever we may be, we want to do things our own way because we are independent and we like doing things that only we want to do, and we don't really care about anyone else. But you've always called your disciples and your people back into your word, where we learn about you and we see some of the things that you have done in your life, even when, you know, it'd be different if you had never walked on this earth, but I'm sure glad you did because you understand us very, very well. You understand us more than we understand ourselves because you created us. And so, Lord, we just come to you this morning to say we need you. We need you. Regardless if there's other people who say we don't have to listen to anyone else but ourselves. If it feels good, do it. Lord, that's not always true. You have given us more than what we need. And all I can say today, Lord, is just that we need you. You know where everyone here is at in his or her life. I don't. But it's you, Lord, that you love them. And you care about them, each one of us. So it all comes back to just humbling ourselves. And we just say, Lord, I'm just a beggar who needs you in my life. Come. Come and change me where I need to be changed. Show me where I need to be changed if I can't see it, if I'm blind to it. Show me my blind spot. But like the song that was sung today, Oh, How I Love Jesus, that really should be our song that's on our mind a lot. Forgive us when it's not. It's easy to say here in church, oh, how I love Jesus. But once we get outside these walls, or once the service is over with, it's like we can forget all about what was sung, what was said, what was heard. So, Lord, come. Come and speak to my heart today. May we pray the prayer that you gave to your disciples when they asked, Lord, teach us to pray. We know it this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May we stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. A reminder of what we find is important to believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Before we sing the last song, I just want to say something as a benediction. It's just very simple. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Amen.
Desire and I long to worship you.